The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
I want to welcome everyone to our streaming service here at Bethel. Usually at this time, we pray for any needs anyone has. We lay hands on the sick because we do believe in the power of God to heal, deliver, or touch people. So at this time, I'd just like to take a moment and have a prayer. If you have a special need that you would like to have prayer for, feel free to please call me, call Tammy. We can put it on our prayer line at the church. We will make sure that your needs are being prayed for. And we know that when we pray in faith, believing, our God hears and he answers. If you just join with me right now, please. Father God, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are so thankful, Lord, that you are on the throne and you are in control. Even in a time that like we are going through right now with this pandemic that we're dealing with, we do believe that you have our lives in your hand and you order our steps. Father, we ask that you'd touch the hearts and the minds and the bodies of all those who are listening to this streaming service this morning, Father God, that your spirit would move upon them. You transcend time and space, Father God. It doesn't matter whether we're present with one another or separated by hundreds of miles or thousands of miles. You still move. And when we pray, you respond. Father, we thank you this morning. We cry out to you, and we do ask for forgiveness for the sinful nature that we have. But we thank you that you're touching each and every person, not based on who we are, but based on the blood of Jesus Christ and the fact that he redeemed his people. Father God, we cry out this morning in the name of Jesus for the people who are dealing with the coronavirus, for our officials, Father God, that they will have wisdom to make godly decisions and right decisions, for our health care and our first responders, Father God, in every area of our society, people who are sacrificing and putting their lives on the line, Father, for other people. Thank you that we have such brave people in our society. Today, Father God, we thank you that there are churches all over our land that are having streaming services and are doing their very best to touch and reach people and minister life to people in Jesus Christ. And we do trust that our scientists are doing their best, that our officials are doing their best. But Father, we put our complete and total trust in you because you are the living God. You are King, you are our Lord, you are our Savior, you are our Deliverer, you are our Healer, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I would also like to mention at this time we normally take an offering. We usually have two offerings this week. We have an Impact Stewardship Campaign that we people commit to give for our building, to pay off our debt on our building, and all those who are involved with that, we just ask that you would continue to give into our building program, our impact program. And also, if you'd like to just give, there's many ways that you can do that. We have come up with a couple of new ways online. I guess that's being, you're seeing that right now. But there's also ways that you can go to our website, and we will continue to receive your offerings. And we appreciate all those who are being faithful to continue to tithe and give their offerings. We are still ministering. We're still ministering to people in our community, meeting people's needs. We are still ministering to people all over the world. We support missions outreach all over the world. And your funds, your money, goes to supporting those ministries and keeping this ministry alive. So we just thank you that you are faithful to continue to give so that we can do that. At this time, I'm going to ask Tammy to come in. She's going to have a few announcements for us.
We just want to thank you for joining us, whether it be Facebook Live or our live streaming, or if you catch it later in the day. You know, it's been a strange time to be living, but I just thank God for my relationship with Him, that nothing that goes on will separate us. I have a scripture that I want to read before I just share a couple quick announcements. It's out of Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, but it says, yet in all these things, we are more. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing created shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now is the time to draw near. If you've not made a commitment to Jesus Christ, you can do it from your home. You don't have to be at an altar to accept the Lord. It is a perilous time, but you know, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And that's what's going to carry us through, being connected primarily to our Heavenly Father. And secondary, be connected to a body of believers. If you don't have a home church, we would love to have you connect with us socially right now. We have two or three different things. We have a Facebook page called BethelChurch.TuppersPlains Tuppers Plains, and you can log on to that, follow us. We put a lot of information up there for you to stay connected, words of encouragement, things that are going on throughout the week. A couple things that I want to mention. We have a Seder that is this Friday night at 7 o'clock. It will be live on Facebook. We'd love to have you join us. I've been posting some information about what all you need to do to set up at your house to join us and prepare for the Seder. It will last about an hour. And then, of course, then on Sunday is Resurrection Celebration. We have a lot of awesome things going on. We're going to have some testimonies, special music and dance, along with an awesome word. So we just encourage you to stay connected. Primarily, connect to God. Reach out to Him, because He's there. Nothing will separate us. And secondary, connect to Bethel. We love you.
Amen. Tammy just mentioned the Seder, and we're excited about that. We used to do those on a regular basis. We hadn't done one for a couple years, and then last year we decided to do Seders again. They're an awesome time of learning and understanding God's plan for redemption for mankind. If you're not familiar with a Seder, I'm going to be explaining a little bit about that this morning, and the importance of us being able to learn from a Seder service and understand God's overall plan for sending the Lamb of God to us to die on the cross. This morning, I'm going to be talking about Behold the Lamb, and this is a two-part series starting today, but the title today is actually Hosanna in the Highest, and I will be explaining some of the things about a lamb and why we needed a lamb, the perfect Lamb of God, for salvation through the blood of that lamb. Many people have Easter traditions, and they observe those traditions. just about every year we have family time. We have dinners together, egg hunts, church services, all kinds of traditions that surround this time of year. Today, of course, most churches would be celebrating, and we still are celebrating what we refer to as Palm Sunday, or the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. A very significant time during this season. The reality of the traditions that we have surrounding what we call Easter, I prefer to call it Resurrection Sunday, some of them are very pagan. Easter eggs and bunnies and now some of you are going to get upset about this most likely, but even sunrise service was connected to a Babylonian sun god that they worshiped from Babylon and from other pagan sources. So I'm not telling you that you're going to go to hell if you have an Easter bunny or you color eggs or have an egg hunt. What I'm trying to do this morning, and I always do this time of year, I try to bring people to a realization of what we are actually doing here and why it is important to know that God sent his son Jesus Christ at this time of year, right on time, during a Sabbath holiday, to die for the sins of the world, the perfect Lamb of God. One of the things that we have as a tradition here in this country is candy. And anybody knows me, they know that I like candy. So I think this is a great tradition. But one of the things that Americans do is spend a lot of money on candy during this time of year. We spend an average of over $1 billion, almost $2 billion during Easter every year. So that's a pretty strong tradition. And I like that tradition because I do like candy. I like those marshmallow peeps. And every year people bring me marshmallow peeps because I've mentioned that a few times. And I usually have abundance of marshmallow peeps this time of year. So I appreciate that. But keep your peeps, okay? I really don't need any peeps. I've got a bunch of them right now. Appreciate that. Lent is also a part of tradition in the Western Church. Easter marks the ending of Lent. It's a 40-day period of fasting, repentance, moderation, spiritual discipline, and preparing for Resurrection Sunday. It starts on Ash Wednesday. And the reason I mention that is that normally we do not celebrate Lent. Many Protestant churches do not. Some do. And if you celebrate Lent, I'm not condemning you for that. But what I want you to understand is that Lent is a man-made tradition. And it's okay to do some of the things that you would observe in Lent. Fasting is always a good thing. Fasting is something that we should do. It's a spiritual bliss discipline that we should always be practicing, like reading our Bible and praying. Fasting is just one of those disciplines that should be in our lives. But for some people, the only time they ever become religious, per se, is during Lent. And that's just a man-made tradition. So I don't want you to think that you're fulfilling God's word by observing Lent, because you're not. You observe God's word by following his word and trusting him on a daily basis. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 6, Jesus rebukes the religious leaders for replacing a relationship with God with man-made traditions. And that's what he said to them, that you've replaced the doctrines of God with man-made doctrines. And he calls them hypocrites. And then he says this, he quotes Isaiah 29:13, but I'm taking it out of Matthew. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. We must separate the difference between the word of God and the doctrines of men. Man will lead you in the wrong direction. The Word of God will lead you on the path of righteousness. Let us make sure that the things that we do with a pure heart in worshiping our living God, not because of some kind of tradition in our life or in our family or in our church. I like to tell the story about a little girl and her mother who was baking a ham for Easter. And the mother cut the ends off the ham. And the little girl said, "Mom, why do you cut the ends off the ham before you bake it?" And she said, "Well, I don't know. My mom taught me to do that. So why don't you call your grandma and ask her?" So she called up grandma and said, "Grandma, mom and I are baking a ham," and she cut the ends off from it. And she said, "You taught her to do that. Why did you cut the ends off the ham?" She said, "Well, I don't know. My mom taught me to do that. Why don't you call your old granny and ask her why she cut the ends off the ham?" So she called up her granny and she said, "Granny, we're baking this ham and my mom cut the ends off from it." And she said it was a tradition. It was handed down to her. "Why do you cut the ends off the ham?" And the old granny just laughed on the other end of the phone. She said, "I cut the ends off my ham because my pan was too short. The pan size was not big enough." And yet it became a tradition in their family. Know your traditions. We all have some traditions in our family that we probably don't even realize why we do the things that we do, because it's been handed down from generation to generation. John the Baptist was baptizing people in the Jordan River. And as he baptized, he looked up and he saw Jesus coming. And in John chapter 1, verse 29, he said this. John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." The Lamb of God. Many traditions celebrate or surround the celebration of our risen Savior. Let's just make sure that we're not allowing tradition to replace relationship in Scripture. So the first thing we're going to look at this morning is, why a lamb? As soon as God revealed to John that Jesus was the Messiah, he referred to him as the Lamb of God. Many in our world have no idea why John would call Jesus a lamb. And most of the time, we don't know because we've lost our Jewish heritage. We no longer understand the Jewish traditions and the Jewish heritage and the principles that God handed down to the Jewish people. The Jews are our forefathers. And a lot of Christians don't like to hear that, but that is a reality. We have a Jewish heritage. We have Judeo-Christian principles that we follow. The Jewish principles that God gave to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Abraham, or Moses, and all those who were in the Old Testament and who were the father of all the Jews and all the Israelites. The Jews are not the only Israelites, and all the Israelites, they gave us the Word of God, and the Messiah came through the Jewish people. The reason we don't know these things is because most of that was stripped from our knowledge through church tradition. But what we want to understand is these things that God established in Israel called the Feasts of Israel, or Jewish Moedims, translated as Feasts of the Lord, or Appointed Times of the Lord. As the Church of Jesus Christ, I want to make this perfectly clear, we are not commanded to follow the Feasts of Israel. However, we have been given instructions from the Word of God to understand the Word and to understand the principles and the purpose and the reason behind us needing a Savior. So the Apostle Paul addresses this to Gentiles. In Colossians chapter 2, Paul teaches this. He teaches the Gentiles, let no man, chapter 2, verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holiday or of a new moon or of a Sabbath days, which are shadows of things to come, but the body is Christ. So Paul is saying, listen, you're not going to be judged by whether you observe these festivals or observe all these religious traditions that have been handed down. You're going to be judged by being a part of the body of Christ. I believe that Paul is making it very clear to the Colossian believers that Jewish holidays are not to be kept as a matter of law, but they're be kept as a reminder of what God's eternal plan is for mankind. God never intended for people to reject the Moedim or the feast. So here at Bethel, we do our best to educate people on the purpose of the feasts, to understand the feasts and see how those feasts tie in to the redemption that we have in Jesus Christ. There are seven feasts that God gave to Israel: Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and a feast of weeks, or we know it of as Pentecost. Then there is the fall feast. Those were the spring feasts: trumpets, Day of Atonement, tabernacles. All these are fall feasts. The first four feasts were completed, were fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled those feasts when he came, died on the cross, came back to life, and became our first fruits. Those feasts were all fulfilled during that time. And then on Pentecost, the church was born. All right on time, according to God's calendar, according to God's plan, all this happened. So Passover now is what we are actually celebrating, Passover. This is the time of year of Passover. Jesus died during Passover. That's why it's important that we understand Passover and the Seder and the principles that are all behind the scripture and the reality of God's redemptive plan, even all the way back to the Jewish people being redeemed from Egypt by the deliverer. Not only Moses, but God was their deliverer. Every year around this time, devout Jews celebrate Passover, and during their meal, they do something called the Haggadah, or the telling, which is the retelling of the Exodus story and how God miraculously delivered them out of Egypt. Most Jews reject the idea that Jesus was the Passover lamb and the Messiah. However, there are those who are Messianic Jews believe that Jesus was their Messiah, is their Messiah, and the Messiah of the world. And they embrace Jesus as Lord and Savior. But as a whole, the nation of Israel has rejected Jesus. However, that will change in the future. And it seems to be, there seems to be a trend right now also that more Jewish people are embracing Jesus Christ as their Messiah. Jesus observed Passover Seder with his disciples just before his crucifixion, and he made it clear that he was about to fulfill the righteous requirements of the law. He was the Passover lamb. A Jewish man had his son. He had raised his son in a secular lifestyle, and he was getting older, and he wanted that man, or his son, to have some Jewish roots, so he sent him to Israel. And when he came back from his trip to Israel, he said to his father, he said, "Thank you, Father, for sending me to Israel. It was life-changing. But I got to tell you, while I was there, I became a Christian." And the father was just distraught. He wanted him to embrace Judaism. He embraced Christianity, so he prayed, and he said he followed the tradition. He went to his best friend, and he told his best friend what had happened. "I sent my son to Israel, and he came back as a Christian." And his best friend said, "It's funny that you would come to me. I sent my son to Israel, and he came back a Christian. So they went to the rabbi, and the rabbi that they went to, they told him what had happened. And the rabbi said, it's funny that you came to me, because I also sent my son to Israel, and he came back as a Christian. And they all said, what are we going to do? Well, let's pray. And they got down on their knees, and they started praying before the living God. Now, this is just a story. Listen carefully. They got down on their knees, and they prayed out. They called out to the Heavenly Father, oh, God, what are we going to do? We sent our sons to Israel, and they came back as Christians. And a booming voice came from heaven. I, too, sent my son to Israel. Hallelujah. He did. Thank God he sent his son to Israel. But not only to Israel, but the Word of God tells us that he loved the whole world so much that he sent his only begotten son, that whoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. Our God has made available salvation to anyone who will cry out to him. But the answer is Jesus. You must recognize that you are a sinner, that you need to be saved by the grace of God, and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you shall be saved. We are living in tumultuous times, difficult times. We're going through something right now that many people thought they'd never see. Things are going to get worse in the future. Now, I'm not saying now that things are all going to fall apart, but I'm telling you, there's a time coming up on this earth called the Great Tribulation. Jesus warned us of it, and it's going to be a terrible time, much worse than anything that we are seeing right now. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, those kind of times will destroy you. Jesus is the answer. He's our deliverer. And I want you to know that God sent his only begotten son to you this morning. These feasts that we've been talking about, Pesach, Passover, Shavuot, which is Pentecost, Feast of Weeks, Sukkoth, Tabernacles, Feast of Booths. Now, I mention all these three because these were the three that required all the men of Jerusalem to come back to the temple. Wherever they lived in all the world, they were to come back to the temple to Jerusalem and worship God during these three feasts. So this time that we're talking about right now, the Passover, was a time of all Jews coming back to Jerusalem. And it's interesting that John tells us in John chapter 1, verse 14, that Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Greek word dwelt there literally means he tabernacled with us. So one of the fulfillments of Scripture is tabernacle. Now, that's not the complete fulfillment of that. That Scripture is going to be totally fulfilled, that feast, when Jesus comes back to set up his reign here on the face of the earth for 1,000 years. He will then tabernacle with all of mankind. So there are four major elements to Passover, and that's what we want to talk about this morning. Pesach, which is a lamb, matzah, unleavened bread, maor, bitter herbs, and wine. And according to the sages, there are four cups represented: sanctification, judgment, redemption, and praise. So we can see that God had a plan. The lamb was part of that plan. He redeemed Israel from Egypt by the blood of the lamb. Remember the story. The destroyer was to come and destroy all the firstborn in Egypt. Anyone who did not have the blood of the lamb over their doorposts and their lintels. Those who refused to do that, the destroyer came in and killed all the firstborn, including Pharaoh's firstborn son. All who reject the Lord Jesus Christ will one day give account for that. And they will be judged by a living God. the judgment does not have to come upon you, the judgment of God. He's a loving God. He gave us the blood of the Lamb that we can put over the lintel of our heart and the doorposts of our heart. That will save us for eternity. But if we reject the living God, we reject His Son, Messiah, then there will be judgment one day. So that perfect Lamb was very important. And Jesus was, according to John, the Lamb of God that comes to take away the sin of the world. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 8, it says, "And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitude who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Hosanna means save now. This was a common phrase that was used among the Jewish people in regards to crying out to for the Messiah to come. God, save us. Send us the Redeemer. Send us the Messiah. Hosanna to the Son of David, because they knew that he would be a son of David, the great king. Send it. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna means save now. Hallelujah. God is saving now. During that period of time, this was a very typical saying that was used during the Jewish people, and particularly at this time of year. What was happening appears that all the Jewish people was accepting Jesus as their Savior. As we go on through this, you'll see. But what happened, what the reality is, that they were following a tradition. They were actually calling Jesus the Messiah, though, because of this phrase, Hosanna to the Son of David. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 10, it says, "When he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this?" John had already answered that question. Remember when he saw Jesus coming to be baptized? The Lamb of God that comes to take away the sin of the world. For centuries, the Jewish people had been expecting the fulfillment of ancient scriptures that foretold the coming of the Messiah. Thousands of scriptures that foretold the coming of the Messiah. And they always looked forward to it, and they planned it. But when he arrived, because he didn't come like they thought he was going to come, because he didn't come the way their tradition said that he was going to come, we need to be careful of that. That God may not be showing up the way our tradition says he should, but he's there. When he arrived, the traditions that they had rejected him. But I can tell you this, every year, based on their tradition, every year on the 10th of Abib, the high priest, as the spiritual leader of Israel, went up to Bethlehem where the best Passover lambs were kept. They would breed them there. And then they would take care of them because they needed lambs without spot or blemish for certain sacrifices, and particularly for this time of year for the Moedim of the Lord, the Passover. The Jewish leader would select one without spot or blemish and bring him back to the Temple Mount to be inspected for 4 days until the evening of the 14th of Abib, when Passover would begin. And by the way, the actual Passover date for this year is Wednesday of this coming week in the evening. The Jewish time frame is always a day. It's from evening to evening, not like our calendar, but from evening to evening. And the Passover begins in the evening as the sun goes down. We will be celebrating it on Friday, Good Friday, merely because we're not exactly celebrating Passover, but we are using it as a tool to understand and follow the teachings of the Old Testament and tie them in to the teaching of the New Testament and the reality of our Savior Jesus Christ. So he would select a lamb without spot and blemish, and he'd bring him back to the Temple Mount to be inspected, to make sure that that lamb was perfect. And for 4 days, they would look at lamb over and make sure that it was perfect. Around this same time, every family would go out, the head of the family would go out and choose a lamb, and he would bring it back, and they would take care of that lamb, inspect that lamb for 4 days as well, because they were going to kill their lamb for their Passover meal. Understanding, they all went to Bethlehem area to get their lambs because they were the perfect lamb. They were bred there to be the perfect lamb. So I mentioned that because I want you to understand that Jesus being born in Bethlehem had great significance as the Lamb of God. It was not just an accident that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. If you remember when the wise men came to Herod and he asked the religious leaders, where's the Messiah going to be born? It was prophesied hundreds of years before Jesus was born that it would be Bethlehem. God tied all this together so that everyone could see this was not a mistake. This was God's plan from the very beginning. The lambs would come from Bethlehem, and Jesus, the ultimate perfect Lamb of God, would be born in Bethlehem. By the time those first three feasts, Moedims, were referred to simply as Passover. The Passover Moedim, the unleavened bread, and first fruits were all tied together. But I can tell you this for sure, that every Jewish person knew that they were celebrating three feasts. It was ingrained within them. If you've never seen the classic film, The Ten Commandments, and I think it's running right now, I saw a little bit of it last night, by Cecil B. DeMille. Charlton Heston is the star of that show. He's Moses. If you've never seen that, I would encourage you to sit down with your family and watch that film. Now, it's a movie, and there's a lot of things in there that they made a story out of it to fill in the gaps. But the basic premise of the scripture is in that film. The reality of why they did the lamb and the blood of the lamb over the doorposts and lintels saved the firstborn, and the purpose of the Passover that was handed down to the Israeli people on to celebrate year after year after year as a reminder of God's faithfulness to deliver his people and to send a Messiah to forgive our sins. It's all there. And it's an awesome movie. I just encourage you to sit down and watch that with your family. But here's what happened. On the 10th of Abib, Jesus rode into Jerusalem as the perfect Lamb of God. He was there to be inspected by the religious leaders, by the secular leaders, by all the people, as the perfect Lamb of God. During that period of time, he did many miracles. He showed himself to be perfect in all his ways. They could not find a fault with him. The high priest tried, Pilate tried, the people tried. They couldn't find anything wrong with Jesus. He was that perfect lamb. And on the surface, as you saw, if you would have been there, you would have seen all these people hailing him as Hosanna, the son of David, and it would have appeared that they were worshiping him as the Messiah. But the reality is, some of them didn't know what they were doing. It was all part of tradition. The truth is, a few days later, those same people that were saying, Hosanna, to the son of David, Hosanna in the highest, we're going to be crying out, crucify him, crucify him. Because they followed tradition, not a relationship with God. Here's how the tradition of Passover began. That day when Jesus entered Jerusalem, what we call the triumphal entry. Early on the morning of the 10th of Abib, the high priest, along with a hand-picked entourage, would leave Jerusalem. The priests, which there were hundreds of them, would leave their leave the Temple Mount, and they would line the streets and make a corridor for the high priest to walk in, along with a few priests that he had selected. These priests were standing shoulder to shoulder. They had palm fronds and pine boughs in their hands, and they were prepared for a great celebration. And as they formed this corridor, the high priest would walk out, and he would head to Bethlehem to choose the perfect lamb. He would go and choose his lamb. And when he came back, the priests were told that the high priest was on his way, and as he was entering into Jerusalem, those priests would begin to shout, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" For hundreds of years, the Jewish people had been doing this. Every year, as the high priest returned with his perfect lamb, and the priests would see him, and they would cry out. And then what would happen? The people, now we have to understand, this was one of those three feasts that all of Israel, all the males, and they would bring their families, had to come to Israel to celebrate, come to the temple. There was about, according to Bible scholars, somewhere between 150 to 200,000 people in Jerusalem. The city was overflowing with people. And when the priest began to shout, "Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest," the people would hear it. They did this year after year after year. They would run out of their houses. They'd pick up their palm fronds and their boas, and they begin to wave them and shout, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." They would do this out of tradition, not to honor Jesus. When they began waving those palm fronds, it was a great celebration. I don't think we can even imagine what it would have been like for the people during that time. The only thing I can compare it to would be, you know, when New Year's Eve, when they drop the ball in New York, when it gets drops to the ground, people just go crazy and shout and throw confetti all over the place. You know, it's a great celebration. Or sometimes I get to go to football games, Cowboys football games in Dallas, Texas, and when there's a great, a wonderful play that the Cowboys do, the whole place erupts and shouts. Everybody's shouting. It would have been something like that, even greater, I believe. The place would have been in chaos, really, but it was organized chaos because they knew what they were doing. They were all proclaiming the Son of David as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they begin waving and proclaiming. But this year, the year that Jesus entered in to Jerusalem on the donkey of a foal, 4029 of the Jewish calendar, to the best of our understanding, things were just a little bit different. Jesus was mounted on the foal of a donkey. He entered the city, fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9, hundreds of years before Jesus came on the scene. And behind him were his followers. They began shouting, the typical shout during this time of year. "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." The priests happened to hear it, and they thought the high priest was coming. And they started shouting and waving their palms. But there were some of them that recognized that, hey, they're shouting for Jesus. And we know this because the account in Luke chapter 19, verse 39 and 40 tells us that some of the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your followers." And Jesus said something very profound. He answered and said to them, "I tell you, if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." So Jesus didn't try to shut them up, because he truly was the Son of David. And as the crowd became, or as the priests began to shout, "Hosanna in the highest, blessed are he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna to the Son of David," it was too late. The people heard it and they ran out into the streets. And they picked up their palm fronds and they picked up their boas and they started shouting and waving and proclaiming Jesus as the Son of David. But the reality is, most of them had no idea what they were doing. It was all part of their tradition. These people that called him the Son of David, as I mentioned before, just 4 days later, we're going to say, "Crucify him. Crucify him." Because they allowed tradition to be ingrained within them instead of seeking the face of the living God. Now, there were those there that knew that Jesus was the Messiah, and they proclaimed him as Messiah. We know on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people received Christ as their personal Savior. Some of those were priests that accepted Christ as the Messiah. But overall, the Jewish people rejected him. They rejected him based on tradition, not on relationship. I ask you today, examine yourself. Make sure you're not just going through the motions of Christianity. We can act religious, but does God really have your heart? Only you can answer that. But I can tell you this morning, if you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, we can take care of that. It's very simple. The Word of God tells us that you have to recognize that you're a sinner and you need to be saved by the grace of God. But then all you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you shall be saved. If you'd like to do that this morning, right where you are, just pray with me. Father God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I need your salvation. I know you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. So right now, I confess him as my Lord and Savior. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I believe that he came as the Lamb of God and died on the cross for my sins. Thank you for receiving my spirit, my soul, into the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus came as the Lamb of God. In Revelation, we see that he's still recognized as the Lamb of God who is able to open the book of life. He is your Lamb. But I want you to understand something. He's going to return to this earth. And the scripture says when he comes back, he's not going to come back as a lamb, meek and mild lamb. He's going to come back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, ready to bring judgment upon all those who reject him and all those who are destroying the earth. Remember, God loves you. Love never fails. God's love is perfect in all things. He loves you so much that he did give his Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for watching, and remember, love never fails.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.